Good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, August 27th, 2025, and this is a collective bargaining session between the United Faculty of Florida UCF chapter and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. We'll begin this afternoon with a review of the minutes from our August 6th session. I think Charlie's got those and can display them.
All right, Jason, just so you know, because I'm presenting, I can't see anybody who's coming in, okay? So I leave it in your hands.
All right, I got the participants list up.
Thank you. If you move people to attendee, they can stay muted, and that I think that will work.
Charlie, I have one suggestion for the minutes on item number 4. The MOU is on internal advisory panel. Thank you.
Sure.
Anybody else? Any suggestions?
I'm good with this.
All right, thank you.
Going once, going twice. We have minutes from last time. All right, thank you all. And before I forget, because we're changing our format for these meetings using Teams instead of Zoom, I hope this works out better than it did last time. And I appreciate all the work that Charlie did to get this ready. And Jason, we appreciate very much that you're helping navigate everybody through this, and hopefully this will be very successful, and I appreciate the great teamwork between both sides here. Robert, as we understand it, you have a couple things you'd like to share with us.
I thought you were gearing up for a question there somewhere, Chuck. I was like, I was waiting for a question. I didn't realize it was a statement. Okay, very good. Yeah, I have something I'm ready to present, if you're ready.
Floor is yours.
All right, I'm going to try and share the screen. We'll see how this goes. Okay, can everybody see this?
Yes.
All right, I have a problem, though. There we go. Okay, I fixed it. All right, so this is the MOU you gave us, and we put some changes here. We think they're minor changes, so we'll present the changes. We'll let you mull it over. But the first change here is we wanted to change the word view to voice. We feel what we were going after was an independent voice, not an independent view. View was too passive for us in this process. We wanted a voice, not a view. So this was the reason for change of that word. And then here, these two highlighted sections here, we wanted a parallel to what UFF was doing as far as creating a list of people. So we put in that that the university would come up with a list of 3 people and they would choose from the list, just so it parallels the process that you had imagined for UFF.
What we would probably consider, we'll take this under consideration. What I think is our list is considerably longer than that.
Okay.
And basically, any non-unit administrator is a candidate.
Within the conflict of interest framework, right?
Correct. Yeah. So in general, if we were to provide a list, we would probably provide a list with all the deans, the associate deans, and probably the chairs.
Right. But we were concerned about people from general counsel on the list. We understood that was a conflict of interest.
They're not faculty.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying administrators who were faculty?
Yes.
I see. Okay. So maybe clarifying that in the language might be in order, right?
I hope Craig doesn't mind that I'm disqualifying him from the internal advisory panel. It's not personal, Craig.
All right. Just a couple other things here. One, and we talked about this in email, the step two, if we're going to keep step two in there, we might want to define what step two reviewer is. You had said it could be the university representative. It may not be. And if that's the case, I think we kind of need a little bit more information for someone reading this, since step two reviewer doesn't appear in the CBA at all.
I believe it says reviewer in the portion of the article that relates to step two. Perhaps we can clarify that. One thing that I would offer as a possibility, this isn't a full-blown proposal. After you sent me that question about the distinction between the university representative and the step two reviewer, I kind of went through this again. And essentially, every place it said university representative, I changed it to step two reviewer. There will be, if we're doing this and it's going to step two, there's been a step two meeting already. There is a step two reviewer, and that is the person that we would identify. It may, in some cases, be someone that would otherwise be a university representative, depending upon the conflict of interest kind of situation that you've already mentioned. The step two reviewer might be distinct from the university representative, but it would be the step two reviewer who would be requesting information and so forth as part of the review by the independent internal advisory panel. So I think we could say step two reviewer only.
Okay. However, just, you know, being someone who's at least somewhat familiar with the CBA and this language and stuff, I was thrown by it. So clarity might be in order here, Chuck, which is why I flagged it. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't know that it's clear in the language alone.
Okay, we'll take a look at it. We'll take a look at it.
All right. And I think the last thing here is, I didn't highlight this. I can highlight it now. And we changed the date of enforcement. We want this, if we were to agree to this MOU, we would like it around until a new CBA has been ratified or until both parties mutually agree to vacate. We feel that having a date there that doesn't overlap with the current CBA could create leverage for one party or the other if they think that this system is great and want to keep this system, then it would become, it would become hostage in a full book bargaining.
These all seem worthy of very serious consideration by us, including the clarification on step two reviewer. There was one other thing that it looked like you had changed and it hadn't been highlighted.
Okay.
Can you scroll back up a little bit? I think whenever possible was stricken right there in the middle on the second bullet point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The whenever possible sounded like a waiver language to us.
Well,
you should know if someone has a conflict of interest or not, right? Like, it's a known thing. It's not.
Like, well,
would there be a case where you would say, well, this person has a conflict of interest, but we'll have them oversee this?
Well, suppose I'm just making this up as we go along. Suppose the person that is being grieved is the provost.
Okay. So then everybody,
I think an argument could be made that any employee below the provost on the organizational chart has a potential conflict of interest.
But in effect, aren't all grievances a grievance with the provost? Right? So, that's the condition of things, and that's what we're operating under.
I mean, again, I think in my mind, when we put this language in, when we suggested it, and we'll consider taking it out, if you'll be so kind as to highlight it so we can find it very easily. We were thinking of that possibility where the person that's being grieved is known to everybody, and it may not be possible to get someone that doesn't have some kind of a working relationship with the person that's being grieved.
Well, perhaps
but our intention certainly is to avoid conflicts of interest.
Sure. Well, whenever possible. Talk about this with your team, and perhaps there's some language that could replace whenever possible that might make that distinction a little more sharp.
All right. Again, I think I would tend to agree with you that these are not major changes that you're suggesting. We do appreciate the chance to review these and ponder them carefully and see if we can't come up with a good clarification for the step two reviewer and perhaps some alternate wording for whenever possible. We will be happy to look at this. My takeaway from this is we are making good progress on this.
Okay.
Right, and I hope that's how you feel as well.
Well, I think as long as we're meeting, we're going over stuff, we're making progress, right, Chuck?
By definition, yes, sir.
All right. We'll make progress whenever possible. How's that?
Well, that's not so clear now. I wish you'd clarify that.
All right. Are we done with this?
I think so. So, yeah, we'd appreciate receiving that. And
all right,
we'll look forward to taking a good look at it. Thank you.
All right. Very good. All right. Let me bring up the next thing. Hang on 1 second. All right, everybody can see this?
Yes.
All right, so this is something we've been talking about for some time on the bargaining team, and we wanted to prepare an MOU on AI and digital workplace rights. And so we've been researching this all year and talking to people and sharing ideas with folks. And we finally feel confident enough to present something to you all to take a look at and consider. Okay, so let me just go up here. There's a lot of stuff in here, so I'm just going to paraphrase if you don't mind, and then if you want to read it, I'll leave it on the screen until you're finished and move it on if that works for you, or would you rather me just summarize?
It looks like it's a fairly lengthy document.
It's 2 pages.
2 pages, okay. So I think we're going to have to look at it.
Sure. Do you want me to summarize it?
I'm getting highlights.
Yeah, I like the summary, actually.
Okay. All right. I could do a little summary.
I think it's important for us to know, you know, what are the points that you think are very critical and that you want to make sure that we catch them.
Sure. So this first thing is sort of a prologue here about identifying that both UFF and the university, welcome new technology when they can, but also, you know, we have to understand that, you know, technology inherently is not, efficient or has a positive impact all the time. And so, you know, this is just kind of acknowledging that this MOU is something to kind of mitigate AI and digital technologies within the workforce. So what we've done is we've kind of broken this up into kind of subjects. So there's like, this is, as you can see, is technology. And here, what we're saying here is if there's any new technology that's going to impact the workplace and the duties of people in the bargaining unit, that we're asking that the university have a consultation with the union to go over what the new technology is so that the union can assess its potential impact to the workplace. I know, like, at least in my recent experiences, you know, we've been more apt to have a consultation than you all have. So, you know, if there's something coming in, you know, like in the future that you all are planning to adopt, you know, the request here is just have a consultation with us so we can ask questions about that new technology and have a person attend who is knowledgeable about those new technologies. Teaching, this is very kind of basic. It's just a class cannot be solely run by AI, but an instructor of record has to be in every class and has to oversee student instructor interactions. We don't think this is very controversial, but we want to kind of make this clear.
And I think I understand what you mean. Mm-hmm. I'm sure one change that we'll be looking at right away is it won't always be an employee in the bargaining unit, because not all courses at the university are taught by members of the of the bargaining unit.
Right, but we can only have contract language for people in the bargaining unit. But if you let us expand, we would love to have a contract that covers every worker.
Look at that.
If you're up for that, we'd be more than willing to.
I'm sure this is not the members of the bargaining unit volunteering to teach every course section that the university offers.
Okay. All right. Employment. AI cannot replace job classification or in-unit employee. That's pretty basic, and we've seen contract language in other places for AI, and that's a pretty basic contract language that we were able to borrow from for this here. Promotion and review, generative AI and systems like that cannot be the sole or primary reviewer of employment applications or advancement promotion materials unless there's a designated hiring official that goes through those final results. So we're not saying necessarily that AI can't be used, but ultimately a human being has to oversee the final decisions. It cannot be done solely by AI. Participation, when an employee's job description or assignment does not require use of AI or other digital technologies, that employee may voluntarily decide which, if any, digital technologies they may employ. Evaluations, an employee's job description or assignment does not require use of AI or other digital technologies, cannot be evaluated negatively for not employing said technologies. And also in evaluations, a supervisor cannot depend solely on AI for a summary or analysis of a bargaining unit member's yearly work, performance improvement plans, or post-tenure review. Can I go on, Chuck?
Yes, please.
All right. Right to opt out. So we would like to see a system where employees can opt out of their materials from trainings or use in any AI systems that the university adopts, that it's not an inherent requirement for their personal intellectual property or their identities or anything like that. So this is just kind of an opt-out language, the right to opt out of AI. And because we have opt-out, we also have opt-in language. We don't want to dissuade employees who are interested in AI from using AI, but we do want the university to inform them of the implications of using AI and make any third-party system agreements available to all if bargaining unit members wish to use AI. So we're not trying to make this document punitive to people that want to use AI, but we also believe that those who want to use AI should be protective as far as the information they're given to make a decision of whether they want to opt in or not. Legislative compliance, if the state, the Board of Governors, or maybe even the university itself decides or requires generative AI for searching data, which can include course materials, papers, publications created by individuals in the bargaining unit. And if in that process, the search flags for further scrutiny, in-unit employees materials, those materials would then have to be examined by a human being. It cannot be flagged alone by AI. And if something is flagged and it's going to end up in some report based on an AI search, the person who is impacted by this can write a response that will be part of the record or part of the report. AI profile, an avatar is the bargaining unit. People must be given an opportunity for a written. People must essentially an opt-in if someone wants an AI profile, and if they want an AI profile, the university has to disclose the implications of having an AI profile constructed, and they must opt in a written way. So if you're creating AI profiles for faculty members, or I'm sorry, for bargaining unit members, the bargaining unit member has to opt in a written way to the university, and the university must disclose what the implications are for having an AI profile or avatar. That's the last item on the MOU, and then we put the same language we did for the previous MOU, that it's good until the new CBA is ratified, and we're thinking that if this is something that's workable, if this is something we could agree upon, this might take that empty slot in the CBA that Article
26, like, I think.
26, yeah. So it could take that spot if this is something that is workable and something that that we wish to do. The university seems that AI is our future, and if that is the case, AI is changing the workplace. We are the union. We are interested in workplace rights and protecting the workplace, so it makes sense that we bargain something like this, and something like this eventually ends up in the contract. That's the ins and outs of it, Chuck.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the explanation of the high points. Please send it to us as you customarily do. We will take all a right. look at this. I suspect, I don't know for sure what will happen. I'm sure that we'll want some of our general counsel people, the people that can't be the step two reviewers, to look at this. Craig and Sandra Sabinski, mm-hmm. I think maybe people that will want to have looked at this. They're both familiar with Article 18. There may be no relationship between this and Article 18, but I myself sort of see some overlap there. So we just want to take a look at it and get back to you. But we appreciate you sharing that with us and explaining the key points.
All right.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, we have nothing else to share with you this afternoon. At our last bargaining session on August 6th, one of the things that we asked about is, you know, what was important to the bargaining unit in terms of, you know, what we might be able to come back with in terms of salary. And I want to thank you again for sharing with us how the bargaining unit, in your opinion, you know, is looking for a percentage increase to base salary, and that information was certainly shared with university leadership. So the folks that are working on this, trying to figure out what we can come back with, are aware of that, and I thank you for that. I think it was very helpful for them to have some idea of, you know, what would be most meaningful.
And Robert, the 17th is not a conflict for you as far as September 17th for the next session?
No, that thing I thought was on the 17th is on the 18th now.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. Okay. There we go.
Okay.
Stop.